Top of Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara asks, "Vaha Asa Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan." When Rabbi Avin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he transmitted a statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, which seems to indicate an additional takana, not just the 10 takanas that we mentioned yesterday. Echad Ilan Hanota L'Toch Sada Shel Chaver Echad Ilan HaSamuch LeMeitzar Mevi V'Korei. We're talking about the parasha of Bikurim. And we're discussing a case of someone who plants a tree, which is called Samach LeMeitzar, which means within 16 amos of his fellow's field. And Rabbi Yochanan has a case of Ilan Hanote, the Anofim, the branches of the tree, Anotim L'Toch Sada Shel Chavero. It means that part of the branches are actually located in the field of his friend. And in any event, because of this close proximity between the trees that he's growing and his friend's field, which is contiguous, a certain percentage, shall we say, of the growth of whatever fruits grow on his tree are a result of his friend's field. Because he has located his tree in such close proximity to his friend's field that there's no question about it, some of the nutrients that contribute to the growth of the tree are being supplied by his friend's field. And in the mitzvah of Bikurim, which is formulated, of course, in Parshas Kisavo, that when Klal Yisrael enter into the land, they have to bring Reishis Pri Hadoma L'Bokom Asher Yivcha Hashem. They have to bring to the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash, from their first fruits. And they're required to read a parsha, which is called the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim. All this and its details are presented in the Mishnayos in Bikurim in the third perek. And the Gidul of his peros in the case of Rabbi Yochanan is not just from Shiloh, it's not just from his field. In the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, he has to declare and recite the pasuk Me'artzecha, that it's my land. And here, it's not really exclusively his land that is responsible for the growth of the peiros that he's bringing as Bikurim. And therefore, what we have here is an Ilan Anota L'Toch Sada Shel Chavero, an Ilan HaSamach L'Chavero, the Takana of Yeshua is Mevi V'Korei, that not only is he chayv to bring the Bikurim, but he recites the verses, as if to say that these are his peros. He's declaring his Hakaras HaTov, that Hashem gave him these peros that are produced by his field. And this was the takana that was stipulated by Yoshua ben Nun, apparently, as quoted here by Rabbi Yochanan. Almanas kein hinchil Yoshua LiYisrael Esa Oretz. You know, Yeshua wanted to guarantee that no one could protect someone else, his neighbor, his friend, from planting the tree so close to his, even though, again, there's no doubt that in this case, Rabbi Yochanan's case, the roots are siphoning nutrients from his neighbor's property. And in fact, the Sugim Baba Basra and Chav Zion presents and formulates the halach that a person should be marchik himself from his fellow's property. But nevertheless, what that means is going to be totally in a machlokas rishonim. In other words, according to Yoshua's enactment, the tree owner is not considered a thief, and the nutrients that are supplied by his friend's field is still called your land, it's still called Artzecha, and the tree owner brings Bikurim and he recites the parsha of Mikra Bikurim. As I indicated before, there is here a machlokas rishonim if a person, Mikra Din, is allowed to plant this tree, Tosus is of the opinion in Baba Basra, Chavav Amid Beis, Dibra Maslan Gazlan, that you're allowed to plant your tree Samuch, very close proximity to the Sod of Chavero. Yeshua was just adding a Tanai that you can recite Me'artzacha and bring these Bikurim and read the Parsha, but the Ramam in Perek Beis Milchus Bikurim indicates that it's usur to do so. As the Gemara says in Baba Basra, he was chayev to be marchik his Elon because the roots of the tree below the ground sap his friend's field of nutrients. But nevertheless, whether you go like Tosus and it's mutter, or like the Rambam that it's usur, everyone agrees that the takon of Yeshua was that he can bring, he's obligated to bring this Bikurim, and he has to recite the Parsha. Now again, one could ask, since the Elon in its foliage stretches and enters into the Rishus of his Chaver, the Elon is samach to the Sod of his Chaver, why did the formulation of Yochanan have to indicate both the case of the Elon hasamach hanotel l'sol sod shechaver and Elon hasamach lemeitzar? If it's note l'tol sod shechaver, then certainly it was planted samach l'chatzero shechaver. It seems that there's a redundancy here. The Nachas Moshe says that sometimes you may have a tree, although it's distanced by so many hours, 16 hours from his friend, it's not samach lemeitzar chavero, and yet the anofim in such a lot, if the tree is so large, might actually branch out over into the field of his friend, even though the shrushim, the roots below the ground, are not yonkim, they don't derive their nutrients from the soda chavero. Therefore, these are two separate cases. And based on this question about why this is not listed in the Brice of the 10 Tanoim that were instituted by Yoshua ben Nun, Ella Man Tana Asara Tanoim Sheisna Yoshua, the Brice that reflects there were only 10 back on Daf Pei Omid Beis, is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who the author of that Brice is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And Rabbi Yochanan has the right to argue with him and add another Tanai and assume that Yoshua ben Nun had 11 Tanai, not just 10. Rav Gvio mi bei Kosil Masil Behedja. In fact, there was a Rabbi Gvio who came from a town called Bei Kosil, and his presentation was explicit. He was not quoting any Brisa, but simply he said, Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Birios, Ami Mishum Zokin Enu Man, Rabbi Shu Ben Levi Asar Tanoim Hisni Yoshua. That this statement, that there are 10 and only 10 enactments of Yoshua, that was made by Rabbi Shu Ben Levi. But in fact, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. In any event, according to the Maskon of this Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to be contradicted by the Brice Eliel that says that there were 10 Tanoim. Already proven that there were at least 4 other Tanoim that force a person to suffer and sustain a minimum loss for the sake of preventing his friend from a greater loss. And again, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to have to rely on the Gemara's answer there to the effect that those takonos were understood or accepted, were presented by Yechidim, Tanoim Yechidim, but not by the majority view. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Levi could stick to his guns that the number of takanos that were made by Yoshua ben Nun is 10 and only 10. Now, by way of introduction to the Gemara that we're going to now study about Takanos Ezra, there were two Bios, there was Bia Rishon and Bia Shnia. There was the first historical entry of Bnei Yisrael into the land under Yoshua's leadership, and then Bayis Sheni was at the time of the Aliyah Shnia from Bavel and the Beis Hamikdash under the tutelage of Ezra. And just as Yoshua instituted takanos regarding the Bir Rishona, 10 in number, and these were all instituted by Yoshua ben Nun for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, so too there were 10 takanos that were issued by Ezra to regulate the land, the living of the land of Israel at the time of Yishnia, for the sake of the common good of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara establishes now Asara Takonos Tikein Ezra. There were 10 Takonos that Ezra instituted for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara is going to go into the reasoning for these 10 Takonos, but first we list the Braisa that we're studying now. It lists the 10 Takonos. The first one is Sheyukorim, they should read the Sefer Torah publicly, B'mincha B'Shabbos, they should read 10 Psukim, and call up 3 Korim, and this is all delineated and explained, expounded in the Mishnayis at the end of Masechta Megillah, Daf Chaf Aleph through Lamed Aleph, the Sugis there, and the second Takon of Ezra, in addition to Kriya B'mincha B'Shabbos, because again, keep in mind that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the Kriya on Shabbos in the morning, Ezra had a second takon in Kriya Satorah, V'korin B'sheni B'chamishi, that they should read the Torah publicly on Mondays and Thursdays. The third takon of Ezra was regarding Batei Dinim, that they should have Batei Dinim B'yom Sheni V'chamisha, there should be what they call Batei Dinim Kvuim on Mondays and Thursdays. And the Rishonim explain that even way before Ezra, there were Batei Dinim Kvuim, and that was during every single day of the week, and this we'll see at the beginning of Masechta Ksubis, what was the kind of Ezra? Did he come to diminish and limit the number of days of the week when Beis Din was sitting? And perhaps the answer is that Ezra's takana was that on Mondays and Thursdays, which are market days and people gather together, they should come into the big cities and they should hear the Kriyas HaTorah, of course, and at the same time they should be judged in the courts, or if they had any litigation, they would bring it in front of the courts. On other days of the week, Ezra was worried about Bittul Malacha, and that's the way the Meiri has it, that the benefit that Takanas Ezra instituted was that these Balei Dinim who came for judgment, they would come in on Mondays and Thursdays to hear Kriyas HaTorah, and at the same time, without being mevatel other days of Malacha, they would come in for the judgment because the Batei Dinim were Kvuim then. Tosfos is going to have a slightly different approach to this sugya, and they write that Ezra certainly did not come to limit the days of Batei Dinim, but rather what the sugya in Ksubis indicates is that only in the big cities were Batei Dinim Kvuim B'chol Yom. Ezra was Mesaken that there would be Kvuim on Mondays and Thursdays in every single city. The Rashba has a different approach. Ezra added even Chutz Laretz, that on Mondays and Thursdays at least, there should be Batei Dinim Kvuim even in Chutz Laretz. Until Takanas Ezra, they only sat in Eretz Yisrael on every day of the week. That's the second takon of Ezra. I'm sorry, the third takon of Ezra. Batei Dinim b'yom sheni u'b'yom chamishi. Number four, that the u'mechabsim b'yom chamishi Shabbos, that everyone should see to it that they wash their clothes on Thursday, yom chamishi, in honor of Shabbos. The fifth takon of Ezra was v'ochlim shum b'erev Shabbos. They should eat garlic on Erev Shabbos, meaning Friday night. The Gemara is going to explain why. Then we're up to number six, Shetei Isha Mashkemes V'Ofa. A woman, when she's ready to bake, she should do so early in the morning. The Gemara is going to explain that this was an enactment for the benefit of the poor people, to make sure that bread was available for the poor when they went from place to place, house to house, seeking food. So she should bake early. And number seven, Vishitei Isha Chogeres Besinar. Rashi understands that this is a type of an undergarment that she should wear. The Gemara is going to explain why. And number eight, Shetei Isha Chofefes. And here there's Machlokes, what Chofefes means, Vitoveles, before her tefillin mikvah to be metar herself, she should be Chofefes. Rashi understands that Chofefes here means Misarekes es Rosha b'masrik, she should comb out her hair and remove all the knots and any dirt that might be a chatzitza between her and the water of the mikveh. However, other Rishonim are not happy with this. Tosfos Rid, for example, understands that chafifa does not mean combing, but rather means rechitza b'mayim. It means washing, and he therefore interprets that chafifa is referring to cleansing or shampooing her hair. And this was a takana that was made for a woman to prepare for tevila b'mikvah. And he brings a number of rayas from the Gemara Nida, from the Mishnah Nazir, that the word chafifa refers not to srika, not to combing, but rather to shampooing with hot water and some sort of cleansing agent. Tosa says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that in addition to the takon of chafifa, which only applies to the head, with regard to the shara guf, she requires hadocha, which means to cleanse her head, the remainder of her body. Again, you can't talk about srika or shampooing, combing and shampooing with regard to the rest of the body, but nevertheless, there's hadocha, a requirement of cleansing her entire body and removing any possible chatzitza. Then we have the takana number 9 of Shiyu Rochlim Machzirim Bayoros, which means, according to Rashi, that the people of the city should not complain or bar the Rochlim. These were those who peddled and sold cosmetics, Besamim, to allow them to go in the city from door to door to sell their cosmetics for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, to make sure that there's an ample supply of cosmetics. And finally, the last takana, number 10, V'tikein tefila lebalei keri, that a bal keri has to go to the mikveh. And the mefarshim want to understand why in the 10th takana, and only in the 10th, it says V'tikein. The word v'tiken doesn't appear elsewhere, and yet l'chora the word v'tiken applies to all 10 takonos. And the Mefarshim suggest in Shita Mekubetzes that it was only Ezra who made this takona, but the other chachamim never accepted this takona. They disagreed with this takona, and we'll see about this in the Sugyam Pei Beis Amid Beis. In any event, taking this from the top, the first takana that's listed here is Shiyu Korin B'mincha B'Shabbos, and the Gemara explains that that's the reason for this is Mishum Yoshvei Kronos. Yoshvei Kronos are the people who sit idly on the fences during the days of the week, and they really are not involved at all in learning Torah and hearing Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore it's critical for Ezra to bring these people into the Beis HaKnesses so that they would get at least some minimal study of Torah during the week. And therefore, although during the week they were busy doing whatever they were doing, nevertheless, on Shabbos they had some free time, and Ezra sees the opportunity to use that free time of theirs on Shabbos and Mincha time. There was a reading of the Torah publicly. Of course, we could ask, well, why did Ezra feel compelled to introduce the reading of the Torah on Mincha time when, in fact, there was already a previous Takkan of Moshe Rabbeinu and his Bezdin to read the Torah Shachris in Shabbos? So why did Ezra feel compelled to add Mincha? And perhaps the answer is that since these people, these Yoshvei Kronos, were so busy with whatever they were busy with, whether they were simply idle or maybe they were busy with business deals, whatever it was, they weren't learning during the week. Shabbos was a wonderful opportunity. So therefore Ezra instituted that let's exploit the Shabbos as much as we can. Let's not suffice it with the Kriya of the morning. Let's add a Kriya, Mincha time, a second Kriya. Again, there's a question here because there already was a Takana, as we'll soon see, the second Takana of Ezra, to read the Torah on Sheni and Chamishi. And the Gemara is going to explain, Kadesh lo yolinu shlosha yomim below Torah. So the Yoshvei Kronos, aren't they hearing the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays? Why does Gemara give you the impression that only on Shabbos was there a possibility, an opportunity for them to come and hear Torah? And perhaps the answer is that although Ezra instituted this takana of Sheni v'chamishi, but nevertheless the Yoshvei Kronos did not come to the shuls and participate and hear the recitation of the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays. But that still leaves us in the lurch here with the difficulty of Ezra being motivated to guarantee that there wouldn't be 3 days consecutively without Torah. And presumably this takana was made for those who weren't learning Torah during the week and chap them on Mondays and Thursdays. If we assume that these Yoshvei Kronos would not come to hear the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays, then Ezra apparently did not achieve his goal to guarantee that there wouldn't be a 3-day lapse in Torah study. And that remains a difficult question. The Marsha writes, based on a drush in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem on the Pasuk Im Shamoa Tishmu, Im Shamata B'Yoshan Tishma B'Chadosh, that perhaps we could say that the Kriya of Shabbos Mincha time, if they hear the Kriya on Shabbos and Shacharis, and we can encourage them to come Mincha time to hear the Kriya, then what they gain is this drush of this requirement of Im Shema Tishmu, Shema to be Yosha Tishma B'Chadosh, meaning Yosha means last week's Parsha, and Chadosh means the next week's Parsha. And that's what Ezra wanted to gain by instituting, in addition to the Kriya of Shacharis that predates Ezra, the Kriya Mincha time in next week's Parsha. The Meiri emphasized the fact that Mincha time, after people eat their heavy lunch and they rest, it's a time that people would sort of be mevatel. The Yoshvei Kronos set up that time period as a Zman of Batola. This was, unfortunately, the minig of Hamoni Am, the Pchusim Shaba'am. And Ezra, therefore, jumped on the bag when he said, look, they're not involved in Malach on Shabbos. Let's exploit this afternoon period and hope that we can encourage the people to gravitate to the Beis HaKnesses, the kibbutz, in their multitudes, in groups, to hear Divrei Torah. Gubetz goes further, and he says that during this period of time, Mincha time, they would even get involved in drinking, and therefore Ezra felt that let's see if at that time, instead of drinking and getting drunk, we could gather them into the Beis HaKnesses. We'll take a little bit of a break here, and we'll continue Mirtz Hashem a little bit later. Thanks.